Talktainment Radio Worldwide Sound. Talktainmentradio.com. We give you a reason to come. The world's greatest radio. We give you a reason to stay.
Radio, the way it should be heard.
You got the power.
The views and opinions expressed are those of the host and guest and not necessarily those of TalkTainmentRadio.com, the management, the staff, or K&E World Network, LLC.
Live call-in talk show. Dial 1-877-932-9766 and join the conversation here on TalkTainmentRadio.com.
This is The Compensatory Concept with Mr. Neely Fuller, heard exclusively on TalkTainmentRadio.com, the world's greatest radio. Radio, the way it should be heard. And now, Mr. Neely Fuller.
If you do not understand white supremacy, which is racism, what it is and how it works, everything else that you understand will only confuse you. Only confuse you. Only confuse you.
Welcome to Talktainment Radio. The Wednesday, October the 17th, 2018 edition. Our topic today is a continuation of what we started last week, part two of the, I don't know why I keep wanting to say the emasculation and feminization of the black male in the system of white supremacy, racism. Mr. Fuller and I will discuss that, or Mr. Fuller will discuss that. And if I have an opinion, I will try to, well, I will ask Mr. Fuller if I can give it, but I will try not to give my opinion. So most of your questions, or basically all of your questions, should be directed to Mr. Fuller. Now, I will answer them off air, but this is Mr. Fuller's thing, and that's what we all, including yours truly, want to hear what Mr. Fuller has to say regarding that. We also will have your Gmails, and I am loaded with Gmails, so I will, if I get the chance to read them, I will. I am not going to ignore them, but the phone calls come first. So if you have something to say about that, then you might be better if you can get through. Some of you, I know you have a lot to say and express it before you ask your questions, and that's fine, except that it's beginning to take too much time because some of you have written basically long letters. So what I'm going to do is get to the question of whatever you're stating, unless it's VGQ. For those of you who have been with the program, you know what that is, VGQ. But I'm going to get to the questions of it, and then we'll see what's going on with that. Okay, let's see. Don't forget that we are also during the donations, and there will be a special announcement, you know, for that. Okay, let me introduce to some and present to others Mr. Neely Fuller. Mr. Fuller, good morning, and how are you?
Good morning. I'm still learning.
Okay, you are still learning. A question in the area of the program that we are talking about, the emasculation and the feminization of the black male in the system of racism, white supremacy. What are your thoughts, as you have been around for quite a while and you've seen a lot of things happen? What do you see? What does Neely Fuller see in that regard?
Well, to the extent that a white supremacist has anything to do with the sexuality of black people worldwide, and they always make sure that they have absolute control over that, the sexuality of black people or non-white people, either directly or indirectly through media or whatever, the influences and whatnot. They want to have the dominant influence, as they do in all areas of activity, economics, education, entertainment, labor, law, politics, religion, sex, for sure, and war. Because when you are going to dominate people, if you're really going to be efficient at it over a long period of time, you have to dominate them in all areas of activity, in everything, in their economics, in their education, in all areas of activity all of the time. You have to be the dominant influence. And for sure, you have to be the dominant influence in anything that has power to it. Now, sexuality of people is very powerful. People's minds, how is it powerful? People's minds are either connected with something sexual all the time, or whereas on a personal level, or even involved with other people. There's always a subliminal message of sexuality of some type in advertising or anything, or in everything that people say, everything that people do. When it comes to the restrooms and whatnot, you have to think about the sexuality of people. If you're putting up a building, I mean, you know, what facilities are you going to have for male or for female? You make everything gender specific. Well, the white supremacists now are so desperate, apparently, it seems like they're desperate and have been, say, for the last, I'll say, 40 years. They have really ramped it up. And it's almost like they're in a frenzy to cause as much confusion, because you can't dominate people unless you can cause confusion. And they're going all out to cause as much confusion in the sexuality of non-white peoples. Everywhere that they can, any kind of confusion, just scramble it up as much as you possibly can. Just drive them completely insane when it comes to anything that even hints of sexuality. Everywhere you look, turn on your television, look in magazines and whatnot, they're just stepping on the gas everywhere. And this is what this is all about. Why? Because the more confusion you can cause, not only in sexuality, but in religion or economics, the more confusion you can cause in any one person's mind, the easier it is to dominate that person. So this is what this is all about, in my opinion. I could be in error. It could be a huge improvement in what so-called liberalization of sexuality, breaking out of the old mores, the old traditions and whatnot, and just scatter it all over the place as much as you possibly can and as fast as you possibly can. I mean, coming up with new types of genders, and not just saying gender is not just male and female. Gender can be anything. Gender can be, hundreds of things, not just a few, 7 or 8 or 10 or 12, which is where it is now. But actually, if you use your imagination, you can come up with maybe 200 or 300 different types of genders, all right? And then that would be a great improvement over anything that we have ever had before. Now, that is what the white supremacists are telling the non-white people of this world. It's, you know, your genders, your genderization, male, female, that's a stagnant idea. That's old-fashioned. That is so primitive. That is so backward. I mean, that is not liberating at all. You need to expand your minds, not only in every area of activity, which some areas need to be expanded, but then when they say that you're going to eradicate gender as it has been known, and you're going to present this as black to black people as one of the most progressive ideas ever thought up, forget about the housing, forget about eradicating disease, polluted air all over, you know, and polluted water wherever you find black people anywhere on the planet. Let's put that on the back burner. You got to do something about your sexuality. Your sexuality is all out of sync with modern day thinking. So you have to really drop everything and get serious about this. Drop your religions, whatever they happen to be, and get serious about this scatterization, this pluralization of sexuality. That's really what you black people really need more than anything. I mean, be serious about it. Put it in your churches. Put it in your schools, full tilt. I mean, you got to get with this. This is imperative. I mean, saying, don't worry about global warming and all like that. Don't worry about trying to pay off your house note. Put that on the back burner. Try to get this sexuality, I mean, in correct perspective. Otherwise, you're going to be left behind, as always. And you black people don't want to be left behind. You want to be up to date. So we white supremacists are telling you, we're at last finally giving you something you can really use and really need more than anything. Teach your young people this, what we're trying to tell you. And you might ask the question, Fuller, you're talking this stuff. Is this really true? Or are you just some kind of, you got some kind of personal hang-up about something or something? I mean, why are you harping on this? I'm harping on it because I think that the white supremacists are definitely harping on it, either directly or indirectly. Look in the Washington Post this morning. Draw your own conclusions based on what I started saying in 1972. The feminization of black males is one day going to be full tilt. Black males are going to all grow up, starting with just the ornaments and whatnot, little small things that people didn't pay any attention to, because I started paying attention to it many years ago. I said, wait a minute, where does this earring thing come from? That's usually associated with females, not that people in ancient times. I mean, you know, Indian tribes and whatnot, they had all kind of ornaments on. But that didn't have anything to do with their masculinity. But see, it's not so much what is on the surface. It's what the purpose of it is. And in what you call Western culture, for a long time, lipstick and, you know, facial paint in what you call the white culture was usually associated with feminization. So back about maybe 40 years ago, they started, and it took on and took root. A lot of white people were doing it, and then they kind of drew back from it a little bit, the earpieces. But black people, if you notice, are still wearing the earpieces, even though a lot of white males have discarded the earpieces, even though they started it back in the 1960s and 70s, all right? And then the long hair thing was a white thing, okay? But now they've gotten the black males, I mean, spending all, I mean, sitting in front of that mirror, I mean, and hair worship is now taking up a whole lot of mental space. I mean, hey, I got to get my braids are not long enough. I mean, they only come down to my shoulders. I got to catch up. So now they come down to below your waist. And then they'll be dragging the ground. I mean, then I don't know where it's going to go from there. But this is all a part of this piece-by-piece stealth. Then the high heels, like they started that off in the 1970s, with the tight pants with no pockets and the high heels. Well, that went for a little while, but a lot of black males didn't like that because a lot of black males are engaged in things like robbery. All right? So, hey, when the sneakers came in, they grabbed that right away because you can run in sneakers. You can't run in high heels, those big cloppy high heels that they had in the 1970s in the Northwestern Hemisphere, the Superfly look. You can't be a very good bus station robber in that type of garb. I mean, you can't hide your stuff if you pick somebody's pocket or rob somebody, you ain't got nowhere to put your stuff. Because those flare pants with the bell bottoms, they didn't have any pockets. I mean, whatever you stick in your pocket, you ain't going to be able to hide it. Plus, you couldn't hide one of your main things, that 9mm pistol. There was nowhere to put it. It just didn't go with the garb. So the white supremacists, I mean, they said, hey, this is not going to work on black people. We thought it would. I mean, you know, but they discarded that.
Okay.
So we'll just change the style. So now, right after that, what happened? The balloon pants. That made it easier. We bought that right away. Why? You can hide two or three guns in those pants that bulge out a lot. A lot of people may not remember it, with the balloon pants. I mean, the pants with the real big legs that flared out. I mean, you know, looked like balloons for a while.
Okay.
So that got us back on track.
Mm-hmm.
But I hope I'm not digressing too much.
No, no.
But I'm saying this is all being orchestrated, not by us, the victims, but by whom? The usual suspects. Be suspicious of anything that just comes out of nowhere. Hmm. And all of a sudden, black people just grab hold to it because we're so desperate to be noticed. We're so desperate to do something different because our situation calls for us to be different.
Yes, sir.
I mean, you know, I mean, we need to be doing things that are different, but not just anything.
Yes, sir.
And the white supremacists have a plan. They say, hey, if you start letting black people think on their own, that's dangerous. We learned that from the slave runaways and all like that. That comes from thinking on your own. So we got to always guide their thinking and guide all of their customs and all of their habits. And, you know, being a gangster and all like that, we got to control that and guide it and keep it so that it is what? Destructive.
Destructive.
Non-white people.
Mm-hmm. Okay, 1-877-932-9766 is the number that you can get in contact with Mr. Fuller. Also, you can Gmail me at the numeral 7, Mr. Bobby, B-O-B-B-Y, at gmail.com. You can also listen live to the program by just going to the Talktainment Radio homepage at the top. Listen live, and you right there, like and subscribe to the button to the show. Also, you can do this. Go to the YouTube channel and type in Talktainment. I think you scroll down to where it says radio, and then you hit that button, then type in Talktainment number 2, and you are also right there where you can like and share the button. And one more way, you can go to Facebook.com/Talktainment, and you're there. Those are all the ways. Now, TalktainmentRadio.com is a 24/7, no-charge worldwide broadcasting facility with hosts delivering on various topics such as news and lifestyle, sports, law, health, wellness, religion, politics. So here's one that I am going to share with you, and it is called The Kinsman. Now, if you have never heard of this show, it would be to your advantage to listen to Brother Malik Hero speak about issues concerning black men in particular, but black people. The Kinsman, a show that is exclusive to TalktainmentRadio.com, and that's radio the way it should be heard. We are discussing on this Wednesday, the 17th of October, 2018, emasculation and the feminization of the black male in the system of white supremacy, racism. I'm going to take a Gmail here, and here's one that I'm going to take. It says, to Mr. Fuller, and to reduce the stress off of Mr. Fuller. Mr. Fuller says, we should meditate and not celebrate. I meditate 4 hours a day, not all at once. I say as a mantra, breathing in, I know I'm breathing in. Breathing out, I smile at my fear. I use the logic that produces intelligent fear. Can you ask Mr. Fuller if he would be willing to say a compensatory statement that will revitalize all of our minds together, replacing racism with justice?
Well, that's just it. Replacing the system of racism with justice. That's what all the meditation should be about. You don't just meditate just to be meditating. You're just sitting there, I mean, you know, mumbling to yourself. You're just sitting there mumbling to yourself. You got to be saying something to yourself about, now, how do I go about doing something of constructive value once I come out of this meditative trance?
Mm-hmm.
All right? That's what it's all about. Otherwise, you just might as well just sit there and meditate and meditate and meditate until you fall over dead. I mean, you know, what is that worth? See, whatever you do is supposed to produce a constructive result and something that you can measure. See, the white supremacists, that's the way they operate. They're only interested in what will make them stronger,
mm-hmm.
in doing something. And this is why they are the envy and the consternation and the fear, the white supremacists. Not talking about all white people. I'm talking about those who are the most powerful minds and the most powerful people that the world has ever seen. That's those white people who believe in practicing white supremacy, as it is in 2018, the most powerful people that the world has ever witnessed. Nobody has proven to be more powerful in all of recorded history than those white people who believe in the system of white supremacy. Now, in order to get in that position, they have to be totally scientific. I mean, not just sitting around making small talk. It takes a lot of planning. It takes a lot of burning of midnight oil. It takes a lot of thinking. It takes going over things in fine detail about what works and what doesn't work,
mm-hmm.
and discard everything that doesn't work immediately. And hold on tenaciously that everything that does work, work how? To make them more powerful. That's how.
Okay.
That's all they think about.
All right.
That's why they are the most efficient people that the world has ever seen. And everybody, people of color, caters to them.
Okay. Let's go to the phone lines. Line number one, you're on with Mr. Fuller.
Peace. Mr. Fuller. Speaking on the degenderization of the black male, they're targeting our children now. I just want to know your input on how do we speak to our young children about the degenderization of the black male and how they can get on code. How can we speak to our children?
Okay. Mr. Fuller?
I always say one thing right out of the code book about age, because when we say children, we're talking about age, because actually, every non-white person on the planet is a child in the system of white supremacy. I am a child, regardless of how old I get. It doesn't have anything to do with a calendar. It has to do with my status in the system of white supremacy. And I have a child, the status of a child, the status, if you want to use that term. I have the level of power of a child in the system of white supremacy. I'm a prisoner of war. Prisoners of war are children. I don't care how tough they were before they became prisoners. Once you become a prisoner of war, you have been reduced to a childlike state, and you are catering to the people who are mature. The people who are mature are the people who have you in the prison. And white supremacy is a world prison. So you get into the core of your question. You tell everybody of any age the same thing. See, people always ask that, what do you tell children? What do you tell children? And they scratch their heads about what to tell children. You tell anybody of any age. You just don't put that child label on it. Doesn't make any difference what age they are. You tell them the truth. But here's the crucial thing. You have to tell them in a way that they understand what you're saying. And when is the best time to do that? With anybody of any age, when they start asking questions. Be ready with the truthful answer to all questions. Don't say you're not ready for this answer.
Mm-hmm.
They're ready for the answer when they ask the question. Doesn't make any difference whether they're 5 years old or 105.
Okay. Mr. Fuller, are you familiar with the straw man theory or the CQV theory?
Familiar with the what?
CQV theory. Straw man and the CQV theory.
CQV series?
Yes.
Never heard of it.
Okay, never heard of it. Okay. All right, let's do this. From the Gmails, Mr. Fuller. This comes from, and I'm not even going to attempt to read the name, but anyway, it says this. Mr. Fuller, if love and justice are the same thing, then I don't understand why you say We can ask for justice, but not for love.
You should use the word. That's all I'm saying. Ask for justice. Don't ask for love. Love is, you know, if you're talking about the emotional love, which is not what I'm talking about. I'm saying according to the compensatory code, but in popular talk, people do not think of love and justice as being one and the same. So I'm addressing that part of don't ask for love.
Mm-hmm.
When people think that, you know, you don't ask, that emotional thing, whatever it is, that people want emotionally. Well, why don't you love me? I mean, you know, put your arms around me. I mean, put me into that little cocoon where I can feel safe with you, where, you know, where I can feel close to you and you feel close to me. We're talking about feelings. But see, I'm talking about a practice of not mistreating people when I talk about justice. And the compensatory definition for justice is the same as love. That's not the dictionary definition. See, but I just want people, so it won't be confusion, to understand I'm speaking within the compensatory context when I say love and justice are one and the same according to compensatory counter-racist logic. We make it that way. It's not that way in the use, in the average person's mind. It's not that way in a dictionary. You know, I don't think you'll look in any English language dictionary and find that love is synonymous with justice. But that's only in counter-racist logic. So I make the distinction between the two. I hope I haven't added to the confusion in doing that.
Well, I think when you put it in that term, compensatory logic, then that narrows it down to specifically what you are addressing.
Yes, I'm saying that's the way it should be looked at.
Yes.
All right. But when I talk about don't ask people for love within the way that it's usually used, that's the way I'm using it,
mm-hmm.
in the way it's usually used. But if you change that word to justice, yes, you do ask people for that word and ask people for the practice that goes with that word. And what is justice? Guaranteeing that no person is mistreated. Underline, guarantee. And guaranteeing that the person that needs help the most gets the most constructive help. You have to have those two elements in order to have justice. Justice does not exist anywhere on the planet. And there's no record of it ever existing.
So you're...
Where everybody who needed constructive help got it. And nobody was being mistreated. I don't know of no place where that has existed in history, and no place definitely where it exists now.
Plain and simple as that.
Yes.
Even if you check the historical records that have been put down, and even those are suspect at best, you still will not find in any period of time where there ever has been justice. Would that be correct?
As far as I know, except maybe with the possible exception of, in biblical terms, that's the King James Bible,
mm-hmm.
in Genesis, the story of Adam and Eve. Nobody was being mistreated, and the people that needed help the most got the most constructive help in the Garden of Eden, because it was just two people here, according to what the preachers have told me. Just two, nobody else, Adam and Eve. Adam came first, Eve came next, and they were in a perfect state. They didn't want for anything, any kind of help that they needed, they got it. And they didn't mistreat each other.
But something happened.
But something happened.
Yeah, we'll get to that.
All right.
At the
and
end.
Ever since then, according to preachers themselves, everything has been all messed up.
Alrighty.
Nothing has been correct, according to many Christian ministers.
Alrighty. Here goes the music, toptainmentradio.com. We go where you go. Check us out on 94.1 WGRN podcast art available. Download the toptainmentradio.com app to your cell or to your tablet. That's radio the way it should be heard. Stay right there. We have a question that's going to deal with page 95 of the revised code. So get your books ready so that Mr. Fuller can address that. All that and more coming up next on TalkTainmentRadio.com.
For the best home fragrance and beauty products, shop Ash Kickin online.
That's Ash Kickin.
Made with 100% natural quality ingredients and handcrafted with your family in mind, Ash Kickin products are better than those other guys. Ash Kickin candles, incense, body butter, face moisturizer, and hair moisturizer are priced just right, and you can get yours at 10% off with coupon code TALK17. Support this 100% black-owned business and get your home and body smelling and feeling all right.
That's
Shop Ash Kickin online at www.ashkickin.com.
Everyone's talking about the Meet the Candidates form. St. Dominic Roman Catholic Church, 453 North 20th Street, Columbus, Ohio. Saturday, October 20th from 10 to 1 with S. Yolanda Robinson and Kahari Inoharo as moderators. Sponsored by Blacks in Government, Federally Employed Women, and a host of other organizations. And meet the candidates and find out who really supports your issue.
Are you ready for a high school that allows you to work at a place that is right for you? Are you ready to earn a certification in healthcare, business, or manufacturing while achieving your high school diploma? Then you are ready for Life Skills High School, a free public school option for high school students 16 to 21 years old. Learn more about your free high school educational options at lifeskillshs.org or call them at 888-7992. Life Skills High School, education that fits your life.
You trusted Judge Terry Jamison when you elected her in 2012. She came to the domestic and juvenile court with experience as a trial lawyer in criminal, domestic, and juvenile law, serving Columbus and Franklin County residents. Re-elect Judge Terry Jamison to the Court of Common Pleas, Domestic Relations and Juvenile Branch. Judge Terry Jamison, justice tempered with mercy, because your family matters.
I'm Judge Terry Jamison. I'm asking for your vote on November the 6th, 2018. I was voted in by the community because your family matters. Thank you.
If you or someone you know is abusing drugs and or alcohol and want to stop the abuse, contact APDS at 1409 East Livingston Avenue. Office hours are 9 a.m. to 8 p.m. daily and 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. on Saturday. APDS is certified by the Ohio Department of Mental Health and Addiction Services and primarily funded through the Adam H. Board. Fees are based on your income, and Medicaid is always accepted. For more information, call 614-253-4448.
This is Al Edmondson, owner of A Cut Above the Rest Barbershop. I'm calling on all barbers and beauticians. It's time for us to unite as one. We can serve our communities better together. Join the Ohio Black Barber Beauty Network. For more information, visit www.obbn.org or call 614-427-3226 to get more information. Be the change that you want to see in your community. Join our network.
Sex Code War by Kahari Inoharo. The author of the Essence Magazine bestseller, Race Code War, is releasing his second book, Sex Code War. Be on the lookout for Sex Code War.
Live call-in talk show, dial 1-877-932-9766 and join the conversation here on TalkTainmentRadio.com.
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
Go ahead. Make my day.
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
You got the power.
All righty. TalkTainmentRadio.com. We go where you go. Download the TalkTainmentRadio.com app to your cell or to your tablet. That is radio the way it should be heard. My name is Mr. Bobby. I am the co-host of the Compensatory Concept with Mr. Neely Fuller Jr. Our on topic today is the emasculation and feminization of the black male in the system of white supremacy, of racism. Before we left, I said that we were going to address a caller, or rather a statement that was made by one of our Gmailers, page 95 of the revised expanded edition of the book. But before we go there, we have a phone call, so let's address the phone call. Caller, you are on. Go ahead, please.
Are you talking to me?
I am speaking with you, sir.
Okay. Good morning, Mr. Fuller and Mr. Bobby. I noticed that on social media that when I post or when I see other posts or topics concerning counter-racism, there's not, you know, it's like total silence as far as feedback. However, when I post random topics, I get all types of feedback. Should I just stop posting about counter-racism and just concentrate on applying the code within my own life, or just continue to, like, you know, try to, you know, keep posting and receiving, you know, not much feedback? And that ends my question.
Okay. Mr. Fuller?
Well, mostly you just go about your everyday pursuits. The code is designed to be addressed to the individual person.
Yes.
And two words, three words, constructive problem solving, with the emphasis on problem solving, but make it a constructive. That's it. Each and every day. What's the best way to go about solving a problem in the most constructive manner? That's code. That's the whole code. And just stick with that. It's not spreading what you call traditional propaganda or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
It's just solving problems. The people of the world are crying out for problems to be solved. So all real codification is, counter-racist codification, is about constructive problem solving.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the white supremacists say, oh, yes, I can solve problems. I got all kinds of ways of solving problems. I'm the problem-solving master. See, so they all say, is there a problem going on in Somalia? And they'll say, yes, we got all kinds of problems in Somalia. Okay, well, my way of solving the problems in Somalia is to drop some barrel bombs. All right? So, yeah, no people, you know, who are crying about their problems or whatever, or trying to settle their disputes or whatever, you drop a bomb on all of them, then problem solved. Because why is nobody there? I mean, you know, you just say, hey, empty that space and turn it over to the elements, the sun and the moon and whatnot, and the sand and whatnot. Hey, just drop a bomb on them. That'll take care of that. Okay, next problem. Drop a bomb on that. They are problem solvers. They're the strongest in the world when it comes to problem solving. But codification, counter-racist codification, is about finding the best way to solve the smallest or the largest problem on a daily basis by individuals, wherever you happen to be, and do so in the most constructive manner. That's all. You don't scratch your head and worry about people not picking up on what you're saying or anything like that. Just say that you are here to solve problems.
Okay.
Now, what's the best procedure for solving problems? Questions and answers.
Questions and answers. Okay. All righty. Get ready, everybody. Mr. Fuller, I hope that you have page 95 of the revised expanded. Thank you. Edition. This comes from Gigi. Now, Gigi, I did answer the second question that was addressed to me, and I did Gmail you, which you now have in your possession. But this is the question that she has for you, Mr. Fuller. She said that white supremacy, racism, in common, wait a minute, these two questions, which I did answer one, have only the system of white supremacy, racism in common, but are otherwise unrelated. Okay, here is the first question. The first question from Mr. Fuller, on page 95 of the revised edition of the code, you advise to ask direct help from white classified persons and the same last name. What was your personal experience in doing this, Mr. Fuller, if you've done it? Did you succeed in getting help And was it of a constructive nature?
No, I've never done that because I've never run into anybody, any white people who had the same last name as me. I've never run into a person named Fuller who was white in my entire existence. I haven't run into that person. But if that person would ever contact me, according to the code, page 95 in the textbook for victims of racism that you can get by going to producejustice.com, I'll just put that note in there.
That was good. Go ahead.
Right. But if you happen to encounter, your name is Jones or Johnson, I mean, you should, and that person is white, you have the same last name as that white person, and you're a person that is black, well, according to people like whom they call the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, that's where our names came from in the Northwestern Hemisphere. Black people's names came from white people who owned them, their family chain. So it's logical under compensatory law that these are the people who should step forward. In fact, white people who are named Johnson should try to find black people who are named Johnson and say, how can I help you? Because, hey, my ancestors, you know, I was able to be successful based on your captivity.
Okay.
And everything that I have now as Mr. William Johnson, and I'm a white person, and I got all this money, and, you know, and I'm doing well, and all of the Johnson family going way back. I mean, hey, we have done quite well.
Okay.
But you people, you black people named Johnson, you haven't been doing too well. So when I run into a black person named Johnson and I'm a white man and my name is Johnson, I say, Mr. Johnson, I mean, you know, my ancestors probably owned your ancestors just like I own you now, directly, indirectly, under the system of white supremacy. So is there any help that I can give you? Let me know.
Okay. So hypothetically, if my last name was Jones and I know that Mr. Jerry Jones, the owner of the Dallas Cowboys, and my last name is Jones, I should be able to go up to him and ask him for help?
Sure. You say, is your name Mr. Jones? Mr. Jerry Jones? And if he says yes, you say, well, my name is Jones. You know, and we may have something in common, you know.
Okay.
And do you think that we should discuss this, if you're willing to?
Oh, okay.
And if he will, fine.
Okay.
But if he won't, I'm quite sure he'll tell you.
Yeah, I'm sure he will. Let me say this. Do you have that page 95 yet?
I have it.
Okay. Now, in bold letters, I guess almost at the end of the page, you said, could you just read that statement so everybody can understand where we're at about
seek to have all white persons who have the same last name as yourself. You can start right there in your school or wherever you are, if you're in the army or anything, okay, to give you direct help in some or all of your financial, technical, and or educational efforts. Now notice I was very specific.
Yes.
Page 95 under economics in the revised expanded edition of the textbook. Seek to have all white persons who have the same last name as yourself. For instance, family name, historical title, etc. And have that person give you direct help. Because you're asking for help.
Yes.
White people are in position to give to help most black people. They really are. Some white people are not. But most white people can give some kind of help, even if it's what I have listed here. Financial. Most white people have more money than black people.
Really?
Technical.
Mm-hmm.
Technical. I'm going to say that again. Most white people have more money in the Northwestern Hemisphere, I don't know about other places, than most black people.
Yes.
I mean, the statistics show that. Jobs and whatnot, you get more money. So financial, that would be first.
Yes.
Financial help. All right. Technical. you know, a white person say, I don't have no money, buddy. I mean, you know, hey, I'm struggling. I'm just trying to make it. And he'll be telling the truth, or she. So you say, well, maybe you can give me some technical assistance. Technical how? Anything, any kind of information. Where can I get a job? Who do I talk to? Give me a phone number of somebody who can help me solve my problem, whatnot. That's technical information. And or educational efforts. Can you help me to learn something that I don't know, that I need to know? These are the things I have listed, financial, technical, and or educational.
Mm-hmm.
And you do that with somebody who has the same last name. People are always saying, including white people, how do you solve this race problem? What's the best way to go about doing it? Well, you can just start with your family name. I mean, you know, let's just talk to white people. You know, we got to get somewhere. We got to start somewhere. What's the best way to start? This might be one of them. Well, you just start with the family name, all right? And that's a direct line. Hey, you know, my father, you're Mr. Thomas, you know? I come from a long line of Thomases.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we never moved outside of that line. This is a white person talking. And so, the original Thomases, I mean, of South Carolina, oh, we had slaves like you wouldn't believe.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, and we named all of our slaves Thomas.
Okay.
All right? So you might be one of the people, I mean, who, you're not doing well here in 2018. You might be one of our slaves going way back.
Okay.
All right? So, hey, since I'm going to start helping people to get along and whatnot, I'll just start with the Thomases.
Okay.
All right? Every white person should be doing that. I mean, really, initiate it themselves.
All righty.
But if they don't, well, black people should put it on their minds,
so,
which is what we try to do with page 95.
Okay. Here. So it could be that the family, the Fuller family that owns the Fuller Brush Company, very popular company with Fuller Brushes, or Steve Fuller, the former quarterback of the Clemson Tigers who beat the Buckeyes in 1978, 17-15, could be your relation. Is that correct?
Right. He could be, going way back in history, one of the owners of the people who passed the name down to me.
Yes.
All right. And I would say, these people, I request right now on the air, if they hear about this, get in touch with me. I mean, I invite you to get in touch with me if you want to be of help to one of your, you know, people that you got a lot of help from.
Okay.
According to the history books that have been written by white people. Unless they lied. I don't think they lied about that because they bragged about it. I mean, it's slaves they own.
Yeah, yes.
So if Mr. Fuller out there, Mrs. Fuller out there, wherever you happen to be, even going all the way back to Buckingham Palace, if there's any Fullers there, I mean, you probably have something if you're in Buckingham Palace.
Yeah, you probably
do. So you can probably deliver something to me right away and help me in my quest to do what? Produce justice.
They replaced
the system of white supremacy with the system of justice.
Okay.
And I think that's an honorable goal to be associated with the white Fullers of this world.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Which is a direct line before we get to the call for you to speak about your book. Mr. Fuller,
You can get the book by going to producejustice.com. And what will come up on the screen is all the information you need, including an advertisement with this program, talktainmentradio.com. But go to producejustice.com, producejustice.com. And what will come up on the screen is a brief description of the textbook for victims of white supremacy. If you don't consider yourself a victim of white supremacy, and I see a lot of talk now, you know, I saw something on television last night. Of the word victimhood. They say all these people running around, I mean, buying into this victimhood thing. Everybody's claiming that they're a victim. Well, I'm either making a false claim or I'm not. They are victims of auto accidents.
Yes.
I mean, insurance companies all the time saying, are you a victim of that accident? You know, there's a victim of rape. They're talking a lot about that on television every day. Rape victims. So you have victims of racism, or you don't. If racism didn't produce victims, why get rid of racism? Racism is about producing victims, unless I've been misinformed. So go to the textbook for victims of white supremacy, and it tells the individual victim, it makes some suggestions about what you can do about it as an individual victim of racism. And that's the badge that I use,
okay,
because that fits me. I'm a victim of racism, and I have plenty of evidence to show it.
Okay. So if the queen or whoever that's in charge of that stuff at Buckingham Palace wants to get in contact with you live over the air, how would they do that?
Hey, go to producejustice.com. That'd be the fast way,
okay,
to start.
And
Talktainment Radio, call in from Buckingham Palace, right back there with your golden telephone.
Okay.
And say, hey, I'm one of the original fellows here in Buckingham Palace.
Okay.
And I would like to get in touch with you and see what it is your dilemma is. Okay, I'm ready to talk about my dilemma.
Yeah, I know you are. Okay. Okay, let's go to the phone lines. Good morning, caller. You are on the air. I hope you're not from Buckingham Palace, are you?
No, I'm not from Buckingham Palace.
Okay.
Not this time.
Okay, go ahead, bro.
My name is James, and I'm calling from North Carolina.
Yes, sir, James.
I have a question for Mr. Fuller.
Okay.
Mr. Fuller, in the past, you stated that there is a mechanism that can be used to determine if white people are pure evil. If you will, please identify what that mechanism is, how it functions, and provide step-by-step instruction for the victims of white supremacy to effectively use it to reach a logical, scientific conclusion.
Okay, that's...
Oh, by doing what the code book says that you do when you interact with white people. Try to get them to do the correct thing in all circumstances, economics, education, entertainment, labor, law, politics, religion, sex, and war.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there are some people who say that white people are evil just by nature, okay? The mechanism for finding that out is to put it to an individual test. That's the best way to find out anything. The code says, put everything to an individual test. The people that you work with, if you want to ascertain whether or not they are evil or not by nature, okay, that's a call for you to make, not for somebody else to make to you. They can suggest it, but people suggest all things all the time. I have a book of suggestions. But see, according to the code, every individual is supposed to test out everything themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Don't buy into anything that Neely Fuller says at face value at all. Never do that. I always tell people I could be making huge mistakes, all right? So you don't want to make the same mistakes that Neely Fuller makes, and I've made a bunch of them. In fact, most of my existence has been a mistake up to this point, according to my own standards, because I haven't overcome racism, which means everything that I've done functionally has been a mistake. So don't buy into anything that Neely Fuller says until you test it. And then you are not testing Neely Fuller. You're testing whether something is true or false.
Yes.
Universal truth. Always go with that. So the white people that you work around, that's a good place to start. Just put it to a test about whether or not they are willing to do the correct thing by you all the time, or the correct thing by anybody.
Okay.
Put it to a test and let them put you to a test and see if you have the correct intentions. Because the whole idea is to find out what's evil and what isn't.
Okay.
What should be done and what shouldn't. That's how you do it.
Yes, sir.
It's what should be done and what shouldn't that will produce the most constructive result.
All righty. This comes from the Gmails. Jordan, I'm going to do this and then I'm going to contact you about the rest of it. But Mr. Fuller, I have received several Gmails concerning your suggestions of movies. And I did say that I would read the entire list, 40 movies that you highly recommend. And I'm going to do that right now. And this, I think, is going to be the last time that I read the entire list over the air. But with the help of Jordan, I could do something else about that. But anyway, here they are.
Give you are you going to do that?
Well, if you have them, you can go right through the 40. Yeah, that would even be better. If you have all 40 of them.
I do. I know the people have requested it, but I am going to put that up. I keep promising to do it. I've been doing it for about 5 years, making this promise.
Yes.
But I'm going to put that up on the website. But I don't think we should take up this particular right now, because there's so many people that want to call in. And see, the movies was sort of like a side thing. I don't have a movie list in the textbook.
But it took off. It just took off. Yes. And people Gmail me all the time wanting you to do just exactly what you said to the whole list. So instead of reading it all at one time, we broke it up until we got all 40 movies. And now they want that complete list. So you're going to put it up on your site.
Oh, well, I'm going to have to do this, but I prefer not to do it on radio time.
Okay.
Because that would take too long, and people who are waiting, so many people have emailed you. You say you have tons of emails.
Oh, man, they want that list so badly.
So I'm trying to get those questions answered. The list was just something that I thought of that might be handy for people to look for the lessons of their existence on the planet.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, they can make their own list, mm-hmm. all right? Mm-hmm. You know, it's not anything that's really all that specific. But I have my own list that I thought had a lot of lessons in it.
Well,
in fact, I haven't finished the list that I had, all right? Did we have some more? We did have a few more to read, right?
No. You said 40, and that's where it was cut off at. But it had legs of its own.
Where did we cut off at?
You cut off at the 40th one as...
Which is what?
Picnic.
Picnic.
Yeah, that's what you said. Yeah, picnic.
Right.
Yeah, that was the last one.
Well, right after that, do I have Dancer, Texas, population 81?
No, sir, because you said 40, and for some reason, that has stuck. Your
that
suggestion.
Stuck. Mm-hmm. There's a few more. It's about 10 or 12 more after that.
Well, good. You can put that on that list that you are going to put
right
up there. Eventually.
Yes, sir. I will be doing that.
Okay. Now, you heard Mr. Neely Fuller, what he just said. So, take heed to that, and hopefully,
I'll try to get this up. I'll try to get the people that I'm working with to get that list up as soon as possible.
Okay. Right. All righty. Thank you for that. Let's see here. Going to the Gmails. Some people were speaking about last week's show. We handled that. Don't know what happened, but it's handled. Let's see here. Question from Baba Tume. Let's see. He says, Mr. Fuller, and we may not get a chance to do all of it, he said this: how are black people a waste of people? Aren't the white supremacist racist suspects the ones that are waste people, being that they are the most capable of producing justice and deliberately choose not to? Is that the epitome of being wasteful?
Of being what now?
Is that the epitome of being wasteful?
Wasteful?
Yes.
And so the question is,
how are black people a waste people? Aren't the white supremacist racist suspects?
Oh, race, R-A-C-E.
Aren't the white supremacist racist suspects the ones that are the waste people, being that they are the most capable of producing justice and deliberately choose not to?
Oh, sure. The most powerful people are always the people who are most capable of doing what? Of guaranteeing that people are not mistreated. See, whomever is the most powerful person in a room of 10, is always the person who is more capable by having that power to either mistreat people or not, help people or not. That's it. Producing justice. The most powerful person, the smartest and most powerful person. And, of course, in order to have power, you have to be smart.
Okay.
All right?
All right.
Which black people, the white supremacists, always trying to get black people to do everything except get smart.
All right. Music time here. We have come to the end of the first hour. TalkTainmentRadio.com, the world's greatest radio, the way it should be heard. Thank you for listening. Thank you for the pleasure of your time. We will hear you or see you on the second hour.